more people are working virtually and using cloud-based tools to move projects forward. Things are changing so rapidly that direct reports often know more about their work than their managers do. In today's collaborative, decentralized workplace, it's essential that individuals become proactive contributors rather than reactive order takers. For things like sales campaigns and customer service initiatives to succeed, they must be supported by people skilled in proactive self-leadership. First published in 2005, Self-Leadership and the One-Minute Manager introduced a proven path to empowerment in the guise of a fun-to-read parable. In the increasingly fast-paced world of work, this updated edition is more relevant than ever. If you are an individual contributor, this book will show you how to be proactive about getting the help you need in order to succeed. If you are a manager or executive, this book will teach you the fundamentals about developing self-leaders. Our research shows that when individual contributors and managers align around self-leadership, both become more engaged and produce better results. As a result, customers are happier and organizations become more profitable. In fact, a culture of self-leadership is the hallmark of great organizations. In these companies, leadership is happening everywhere, not just in the C-suite. So, enjoy this story. As you'll soon discover, self-leadership is not a rare ability reserved only for the super motivated and highly gifted people of the world. It is a mindset and skill set that can be learned and taught. Before we begin, please be sure to check out the enhancement PDF that accompanies this audiobook. It can be downloaded from your audiobook provider at purchase. Chapter 1. Do you believe in magic? Steve cleared his throat and looked around the conference room table. Welcome, everyone. After months of preparation, this was the moment he had been working so hard for, his first ad campaign presentation, and he was more than a little nervous. The 10 men and 2 women sitting before him were his clients, and they would decide if his campaign was acceptable for the upcoming year. Steve distributed spiral-bound copies of the campaign proposal to the 11 vice presidents, and then handed one to Roger, the president of United Bank. I'd like to begin by reviewing our budget. Steve directed their attention to the projector screen, where he presented the budget amounts allocated to design, production, and media buys. He discussed his media recommendations and the rationale behind each one. Next, he explained the underlying thinking that had gone into the creative part of the campaign. Any questions? Steve asked. Around the table, people shook their heads. Steve sensed they were just waiting to see what the campaign was going to look and sound like. All right, let me move on to the creative approach we're recommending. Directing the presentation from his laptop onto the projector screen, Steve revealed storyboards for the proposed television commercials. Next, he showed preliminary print ads and direct mailers. Finally, he read the radio ad scripts out loud. When his presentation came to an end, Steve took a deep breath and waited to hear what they thought. At first, no one spoke. The silence stretched uncomfortably. Finally, one of the VPs said, "You took a much lighter approach than I thought you would, but maybe that's good. It projects a friendly bank." Another VP spoke up. "You obviously put a lot of time and effort into this campaign." After another awkward silence, all heads turned to Roger, the bank's president. "This is garbage," Roger said. Stunned, Steve went blank. He simply didn't know how to respond. He nodded his head as though he were trying to shake out a thought. "I guess we've missed the mark," Steve finally managed. "I'll go back and talk to the creative team. I'll be back in touch next week." Steve didn't remember how he got to his car. He found himself driving